Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome you to Porch Talk, episode 602, episode at the house with Cole Britt. Cole, how you doing?
Making it, brother. Can't.
He's
can't
back.
Can't complain.
What you know, if you're new to the Porch Talk universe, is Cole helps bring the latest in pop culture when it comes to movies, comics, video games, and just all around things that he and I find interesting. So, where do we begin, dude? What's been on your mind?
I don't know. I think like what we were talking about earlier outside, like everything that's like going on in the world, like that's really and truly like what's been taking up my free time and my thinking, I guess. Just wondering if you know, if there's going to be some Chinese or Russian paratroopers dropping in.
Hey, we're going to have some Red Dawn action.
You know, Wolverines. Like, I'm kind of excited if that were ever to happen. I mean, it would be a travesty.
Sure.
It would be terrible. But at the same time, low-key, like, kind of cool.
Dude, I can't tell you, like this was while... This is when you and I had first started living together over at 21. And even, like, when I had first left Kennedy and was over there, like, all my buddies from Kennedy were like, dude, like, we had contingency, we had plans, you were a big part of the plan, and now you're gone, like, dude, what? And I'll, guys, it's fine. If crap hits the fan, I'll be back, contingency is still fine, everything's okay, we'll be all right. But it is like, dude, just as dudes, just as I don't know, anybody who enjoys watching those kind of films. I mean, we just had this film come out, Civil War. I don't know if, like, listeners, y'all have taken time to watch it. Yeah, like, this idea of American money being worthless, but Canadian dollars were cool. You had this big thing between Texas and California. And, like, even like Bill Maher and all, you know, all the late night TV hosts talking about the whole Mason-Dixon line idea, that isn't the way that, like, if we were invaded or even if we had a quote-unquote civil war, it would happen. Like, it would be factions of groups of people in every different pocket of America, and, like, it would just be absolute chaos.
No, I mean, I agree. I mean, eventually, at some point, though, you know, it would get grander in scale.
Sure. I mean, more countries would get involved because, I mean, anybody and everybody that wanted any part of us is like, now's the time.
Yeah, you know, it's like something we were discussing earlier, and just to bring it up now, but, you know, when you're talking about, like, anything, like conflict, warfare, like nowadays, like, I'm, you know... It's kind of terrifying, especially with all the drone stuff. Like we were talking about. Like, I mean, you know, like you said, like there's tons of videos out right now, like Russia, Ukraine, where like there's just be like a dude just sitting there like playing cards with another guy. Next thing, pow,
and it's over.
Yeah, boom. I mean, that is.
And there's a guy on the other side of that camera laughing.
Yeah, and you know, like you know, I've been on that side. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, he had a goal, he had a mission, you know. But at the same time, though, like, you know, like, we were talking about it. Like, obviously, you know, warfare has changed throughout history. So, you know, can you imagine, you know, being that guy in, like, that Byzantine era when that first freaking arrow came shooting by and you were like, oh, shit.
What is that?
You know what I'm saying? So, like,
what is this tomfoolery?
And then, you know, what did they do? Like, you know, one of the most controversial weapons, it was a weapon, but it changed warfare, was the English longbow.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
And so, can you imagine just being, you know, in those times, being this guy, huzzah, like, charging the front lines, and all of a sudden, and you see old buddy next to you just... with a freaking stick in his eye, fall backwards. Like,
Well, we have creeped up on new territory.
You know.
But, I mean, check this out. You ever think about this? I mean, this will be fun for everybody. But that's wild you bring up the English longbow. Granted, like, we have this big mythology about, like, and you and I are on the same page with this, is, like, when it comes to... these epics and fantasies, man. Lord of the Rings, and just like playing those video games, watching those movies, really into the sword play and the archery and even the trebuchet or the catapult. But like, it's wild, and I guess it's like just the history that we tell. We all know, like, this whole Merlin thing. Dude, the Chinese had figured out fireworks and like making mortar and that thing, and it was brought in by a guy known as Merlin to, like, English and the white folk, and then it was sold off as some kind of a witchcraft or something. So it is kind of wild, like, for it to be, like, the English longbow, because, like, when you look into the history of archery, dude, I mean, like, the Asians were doing it, like, way before, but...
Yeah, but I think that it was the actual, like, grand overall design.
Sure, it could shoot further.
Yeah, and so, but yeah, no, I agree. History has quite...
it's told by the winner.
And I've been actually recently, I've been dipping off into quite of a lot of historical stuff. Like, it's just because I've gotten, and this is good or bad, whichever way you slice it, but, you know, one of the main outlets for media in general nowadays are phone, but not just that, but like books, videos, movies, photos, social media platforms. It's all easily accessible from my phone. Like, I can sit here on the couch or in my car or wherever and lay in the bed, and I can read a book just like I can watch a video. So I've been doing a lot of that, and if you notice by like my video game plan, like during the summertime, I have two kicks. It's Sharks and Pirates. So, like, I've been in my pirate kick here lately. But
God bless you, too, dude. Like, there was this, in the pirate game that we're on now,
mm-hmm.
It reminds me so much. This was a Pirates of the Caribbean game. It was on the original Xbox. And me and my brother played it. And every time, I don't remember the official title of it. And, like, if we started, like, pulling up our phones and trying to find it, we could, but it was somewhat of the same concept, but it was more like Pirates of the Caribbean the way that you would know it from the movie. And like, you, the island base, like going in the town, going to the blacksmith, selling and trading, all that is very much the same, but you had like, you could travel more up into the island and get into fights and resources there. And then you were constantly building up the ship. But one thing, and I think it was because of age, it's like anything else, it's like if there was a game that you used to play that comes to mind, it's like, I never, like, Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask was a game that I never was able to complete. And the Ocarina of Time was that way for a long time. But I got older and I got a little bit smarter and I came back to it and I was able to beat it. But, like, I don't know what happened to that game, but me or my brother never revisited it. And it was such a good game because, like, just dudes being dudes, it's like, we're either thinking about being pirates, or, you know, we're thinking about, like, being medieval knights. I mean, that is just, like, it's just what we fantasize about.
Yeah, so me and my dad actually played this game on the PlayStation, and I want to say that I first tried it out as a demo, maybe, but it was called Pirates, but it was like the Legend of Black Cat, I think is what it was, and it was a female lead character.
Oh.
And but it was awesome. But you could upgrade your ship, and you could, like, go around, but it was more than just, there was, like, a lot of, like, I guess, like, supernatural stuff into the game, too. Like, you know, you had all your famous pirates of lore, like, you had Blackbeard, you had that, and, so that was, like, a really cool game. Ever since they started the feature on Xbox and PlayStation where you can, like, go back and play classics, I've been looking for some classics that, I enjoy, and that was one of them that I looked for. Unfortunately, couldn't. But yeah, like I said, like, I've been on, like, a huge, like, history kick here lately, and here of recently, it's been, like, within, like, pirate culture. Like, I'm even watching a show on Netflix called Black Sails, and it's about, you know, what's the, you know, the number one pirate store that we all know is Treasure Island, right?
Sure.
We know Captain Flint's treasure.
Sure.
We know about, you know, Long John Silver and Billy Bones, and, you know, we know this
favorite seafood joint.
So yeah. But so all those are characters in this TV show.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so it's awesome. Like, they had Blackbeard, he just, this show's old, he used to be on Stars, it's old now, so I mean, Blackbeard, like, he dies, like, a horrific freaking death.
Yeah.
But, you know, I enjoy, I think, like, my most favorite of all would be Blackbeard, just because of the quotes and things that have come from William Teach, you know, giving no quarter and things of that nature. But I've always been a student of history. I've always been drawn to it. But yeah, you know, just, you know, kind of ties back into what we were talking about. I mean, and even, you know, even to bring the what we're talking about now, like, into that conversation, can you imagine, like, what it would have been like to just be that guy? All of a sudden, a cannonball comes, like, flying back.
Yeah,
you know, seen that scene in The Patriot, you know, where they're all online, and next thing you know, like, dude's head just goes whoosh, clean off his body. Like, mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Like, that was a psychological.
Yeah, you got a. There's a flight or flight response happening in that moment. Be like, that could have been me. I'm in or I'm out.
Yeah.
And right now, I think I'm out.
So, obviously, like, as, you know, as we've developed as a species, you know, humanity, obviously we've had these, you know, changes in technologies, these improvements in technologies. Like I said, going back to the English longbow, can you imagine what that would have been like? And, like, nowadays, like, especially in the Ukraine and Russia, they've made, like, a huge, big deal about this is about the use of drones. And they're using them to, like, basically sabotage each other. Like, you know, when drones first came out, you know, that we used them for, you know, taking pictures and videos and stuff like that. Now, you know, we've taken something like that and we've weaponized it. And
as we do,
in my experience, what's so terrifying about that is that, like, in my experience, like, being a Marine, you know, like, one of our biggest focuses was on IEDs. Right, like improvised explosive devices, and the thing
coffee
is,
coffee can bombs, dude.
Yeah, so that was one of our big focuses, and that's something that we trained a lot on, and now you have aerial, one of the things what we call is a VBID, which is a vehicle borne IED, improvised explosive device. Basically, it's where you pack a vehicle slap full of explosives, and whether, you know, it's stationary and somebody walks by and you explode it, or if you pack it full and you have somebody drive it and they drive it into whatever, that vehicle is full of explosives and you use it like a weapon, right? Like you drive it into somewhere and you know, you do whatever. So now you have that same technology in a more mobile, smaller platform with the drone. And I mean that's one of those things that's like going back to what I'm saying. Can you imagine being that guy on the front line? Next thing you know, some freaking arrow comes flying there, right through William's skull, and you're like, "Oh, William, how are thou? Thou was lying motionless on the battlefield.
Took an arrow to the face, did
to
you?
To the knee.
To the knee.
And yes. He no longer was an adventurer. Yes. You know, I used to be an adventurer like you.
Yes.
Till I took an arrow to the knee.
Yeah. Old Skyrim. Yeah, totally, dude. I mean, man, just taking up, like, any kind of, like, innovation to that effect that humanity comes up with, good, like, take the drone. We can fly this thing up and we can, like, this could be good for Realtor, or this could be good just for, like, knowing the lay of the land or the land that you own. And then next thing you know, it's like, it'd be cool if we strapped some rockets to it. Or give it a grenade.
Yeah, and you know, they're coming out with, like, different types of, like, payload assemblies for, like, four of these drones to be able to drop, like, more than one. Because most of them are, like, either release one grenade or, like, blow up one time and it's done. But they're coming out with stuff now, especially with especially since, like, 3D printers are a thing now, and, like, they can pretty much make whatever they want to out of, like, plastic. Yeah, they've been making some crazy stuff, and, like, don't get me wrong, kind of terrifying just to think about that, just thinking about, like, just making my way downtown, just driving around, next thing you know, bam, next thing you know, like...
You ain't making your way nowhere.
It just goes back to, like, I don't know, in a sense, and this just came to my mind, it kind of humbles us. Like, from a warfighting perspective, it kind of humbles us because now we have another reason to fear the skies again. You know, like, used to, like, you know, a lot of the military tactics and stuff like, that I was trained on was, a lot of it was outdated, right?
Sure.
It's like Vietnam-era tactics and stuff like that, like what you would do. Like, in the case of, like, a helicopter or, like, airplane, like, you know, like, what do, right?
Let me ask you this. I don't think this is far off base, but, like, I think the women folk give us a hard time about it, but, like, every time a helicopter or an airplane passes over, what do the dudes always do? Like, mouth open, almost drooling, just, do you think that might be instinct to, like, what our ancestors, like, oh, shit, there's a fucking plane, dude.
Maybe,
like,
but at the same time, I think that...
Or we're just fascinated.
I think it has a lot to do with fascination more than anything.
That thing is flying, dude.
Like, you know, I mean, it goes back to, like, the Wright brothers. Like, he was like, dadgummit, look at what we've went and done did, you know?
Oh, don't get me started on those assheads.
I mean, I'm just saying, like
they were quite crafty.
I imagine they were. And, you know,
it started, like, with a bicycle.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, like, look at us now. Like, we're, like, Red Bull, you know, Red Bull.
Yeah. How can I fly this plane underneath this bridge while a dirt bike jumps it and all everything else, you know?
Whoa! Yeah, dude. So, yeah, like, everything, that's what kind of encompasses, like, my mind right now is, like, dear God, I hope World War III does not break out because I don't want, like, a drone to just come... crashing into my window and exploding, you know, that's just crazy to me. But then again, like, I respect that because I go back and I think about, like, what our, you know, our relatives, our older, you know, our past relatives, ancestors probably thought, especially, like, when IEDs came out. It's like, one second we were there and then poof, we weren't, you know. So it's like, it's just crazy. Just think about, you know, the world changing. But yeah, man,
we continue to find more ways to be violent toward one another. It could even come down to what you're drinking, or, I mean, even what you're eating, dude. It's like the whole thing, like, with culling the herd of, well, there's the bird influenza, and so what we have to do... Nice. What we have to do now is we got to kill off the fucking chickens, dude.
Huzzah!
We don't have a camera on this, but I think this is the first time that the... What do you want to make of that thing?
This is a drinking horn that I got from a Renaissance festival.
God, dog, we got to get the back scoop on that, dude. Like, the last thing that Cole needed was to go to a, a Renaissance fair in Texas.
And I'm going to another one very soon. Like, my sister sent me a thing on...
Of course, Alabama did.
Alabama has one.
Yeah.
It's in Florence.
Yeah, I know.
It's in Florence.
Dude, we talked about it, and then, like, when I hopped on social media, it started popping up, and I was like, you tell me that social media ain't listening.
It's listening, 100%. And I'm 150,000% going to dress up. 100%. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, my God. What are you going to do?
Just use, like, what I got. Like, you know, I've got, like, one of those, like, long... Basically, my same outfit that I was Frodo Baggins in one year.
Oh, hell yeah,
except
dude.
Minus...
You should bring the ring.
I could. I could just be like, oh... But, dude, like, let me tell you something. If you have any, like, appreciation for, like, fantasy in any degree, whether that be, like, you like just, like, the... I wouldn't call it fantasy, but... Like, you focus more on, like, the non-magical type stuff. So, like, knights and fair ladies and the tales of knights going out of their way to rescue damsels.
I hear
like,
the accent coming out.
Right. If you focus on that, or if you're well-versed into it and you love the magic and the mystery and dragons and wizards and this, that, and the fifth, and, like, all this stuff and, like, you know, like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, or any of that, like, even if you... don't know what it is, and you watch A Knight's Tale with, what's his name?
Heath Ledger
in it, and you're like, yo, that's badass. You gotta go to a freaking Renaissance festival at least one time in your life. I had probably the best time that I have had in
Brother, there is no one else, and I've never been, there is no one else on this earth I would rather go with than me and you. Going to a medieval times and pull it, like, what knight would you go for?
Oh, definitely, like, a joust. Like, I've got to see.
No. You got green knight, red knight, blue knight.
Oh, the black knight.
Oh, we're going with black knight,
yeah,
are we?
We're definitely going with the black knight.
All right, we're pulling for the black knight.
Yeah, so, yeah, like, we're definitely.
But, yeah, I would fucking, like, and I think it was a...
He brought his weapon from home.
Oh! And, you know, the cable guy with Jim Carrey was the first time I ever... learned about, like, medieval times, and, like, of course, we don't have stuff like that around here in the South, but I would totally go, like, to a Baltimore, Maryland, like, we're going to medieval times, dude, and we're gonna show our asses, you know what I mean?
Oh, dude, I thought I wanted to go to medieval times, but that was, like, on my to-do list, right?
Yeah, it's fallen off the chart a little bit, has it?
Yeah, now I want to go to another Renaissance
festival. Oh, he's a Renaissance man.
I'm telling you, like, once
he wants
you
to have a hammer hock on the bone.
Let me just tell the story, dude. My mom...
I wish Savannah was here, by the way. I want her perspective of, like, seeing Cole in his natural habitat of being fucking introduced to all of this stuff.
Well, I took advantage of that situation quite quickly because, you know, in those times, whether it be fantasy or just medieval history, one thing was one thing for certain that was actually, you know, a big thing was food and drink. And I made sure that my company, my band of people that I was with were merry with food and drink.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, so, look, my mom was raised in Texas, and I was born there. And, you know, I've always been into fantasy. I think above everything, I think my most... favorite of all the tales of fantasy would probably be Lord of the Rings. Why? Because it is so diverse, and it has things of that you would like, which is castles and dragons and witches and warlocks and, you know, da 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 da, this, that, and the fifth. But it's something that I appreciate and I value very much. My dad and I share this, and I think, dude, I think if everybody's seen Big Mikey, I think I could convince my dad to dress up and go to one. Because I know how much...
I'd pay good money to see that.
I know that he would have a great time. Just because, like, it is just... So, let me go back to my story.
Oh, this river, it goes...
So my mom is like thinking of things for us to do. Like, so we were in Texas and we were visiting my family up there, and my mom's like finding things for us to do. Of course, my sister has two kids, so we're finding things for them to do too. And so we're like, we're gonna go to Dallas, and we're gonna go to the Dallas Aquarium, and then we're gonna do that, and then we're gonna come back, and then we're gonna go to Fort Worth Stables, and we're gonna do that. And then like the next day, my mom's like, do y'all wanna go to a Renaissance fair? Dude.
Do I?
My first instinct was, are you fucking high, Mom? Of course I want to fucking go. But I played it cool, you know, because I was like, yeah, let's go. Like, and like everything I did, I tried to make sure I forced that into the plans. Like, I was like, I thought we were going to the Renaissance Fair. The Renaissance Fair. What about the Renaissance
Fair? You was like kid in the car. Are we there yet?
Mind you, like, just so everybody has like a visual, I'm sitting in the back seat the whole time. So definitely was a kid. I was actually with kids. Like, I had both kids. Like, oh yeah. So whatever. Anyways, little did I know, and I'm a, once again, I know a thing or two about a thing or two, but I don't claim to know everything. But I do know that the Scarborough Fair is a big deal in the Renaissance Fair world. When my mom's like, yeah, we're going to the Scarborough Fair, I was like, shut the beep. Front door.
Yeah.
Are we going the Scarborough Fair?
At that one.
You know, so.
At that one.
So we go, man, and let me tell you something, dude. If you think that it's nerdy and like, oh, whatever, you should have seen.
You are absolutely right.
Yes, you are. But you should have seen the amount of cars in the. These people, dude, they had to have like four football fields worth of parking space. Like,
oh, no way. Yeah, totally.
Dude, there was thousands of people there.
No. Do tell about the people working it and the accents, and then you find out that they weren't actually faking it.
So I go into the first, my first experience was obviously going in and walking in to get my ticket to enter. All right, that's when I noticed that it was actually more than so much of a fair, but the Scarborough, because it's Scarborough Fair. It's an actual village built, like, buildings and everything.
So this ain't like a Knight's Tale of Heath Ledger to where, like, everything is like Hollywood and it's like just...
Nope, it's there 24/7.
It ain't posted up, like, it ain't, like, just 2D. This is real shit.
Oh, yeah, you gotta get a map. You gotta have a map. And it's built. Like, it's built up. It's there for years. It stays there. And during Halloween, my cousin was telling me, during like Halloween time frame, like they do like a big horror kind of theme.
Oh, that's fun.
You know what I'm saying? So like obviously like during the summertime, Renaissance time frame, it's like a huge like Renaissance thing, right? So we go in and immediately the first thing you see is like people showing up and all different characters in their garbs. And then the first thing that was on my mind was food. I was starving. Yeah. And so when I first entered, I see somebody walk around with a big old turkey leg, and I'm like, I need that.
Where's that at?
You know, so we go to walking around, and, like, there's different things set up. And, like, it's there for the Renaissance Fair, but at the same time, like, what I'm trying to explain is there were armorers and blacksmiths there doing their craft, and you could purchase that stuff. And let me tell you something. That shit is expensive.
I bet it is.
So I'm standing in line, right? And like every time that all your vendors, all the people that work there, mm-hmm. right? Like all the and this could be like just me and you, right? Like if we sold freaking candles for a living, we could go and go to the Renaissance Fair, and it's just like anything else where you would go and you would buy merchandise like a freaking
Market Street or whatever.
It would be just like that, except it's all themed. It's like themed. It's like basically taking Market Street and putting a theme onto it. Yeah. Like, this is the 80s disco Market Street. Poof.
Yeah, this is Renaissance version of Market Street.
You can't do it by the way. I want them. You know what I'm saying? Like, boom, like that, right? So.
Nice.
So people are there, like, selling their wares.
Yes. Yeah. and really selling upon it. Good sir.
And dude, yes. They're like, Hello, like you have like
you a, look like you are famished. Could you use a turkey leg?
Ah, hello there, traveler. Like, I mean, literally, when I first the first line I got into, I walk up and it was like, huzzah! And when they said huzzah, dude, my fucking mind just went right through. Cause hey,
you're in fantasy land.
Oh, dude, I was like huzzah! And like, what is up, Mark? But that basically means,
oh yes,
so, yes. So
peasant,
like, and he was like, what wilt thou be having today to fill thine belly? And I was like, I shall have the steak on a stick, good sir, and allow me, if you may, if I would also take the scotched egg, please. He was like, ah, yes, my lord. And they're like, here you go. Would you be paying with cash or card? And I was like, I have a card. And he slid it in there. And
well, that
like,
would be a 3% charge on that.
Nope. And I tipped him, and he was like, huzzah to my tipper. And then, like, all the other vendors were like, huzzah. And I was like, yes, this is a great time.
We're all doing it. We're in there. We're doing it.
So I have this joyful, gleeful smile on my face. I'm having the best time of my life. My sister, who obviously looks like she's definitely out of place, comes up to me.
What a nerd.
And she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm getting something to eat. She's like, oh my God, I'm starving. Like, what do I get to eat here? I'm like, they've got like regular food, but I mean, I'm going a little wild here. I'm getting some stuff that I've never had before, that, you know.
They got steak on a stick.
Which basically is exactly what you think it is. It literally is a steak on a stick. Because it's just beef grilled on a stick. Like a big kebab.
Yeah.
So, as I'm standing there, I see that all these people have like these big, like, either wooden mugs or drinking horns, chalices, you know, just different stuff, like, and I'm like, dude, I've got to have a drinking horn, bro. Got to have one. And,
yeah, do now.
So, I walked across the way, and while I was on the way there, there was this thing called, forgot what it was called, but it was basically two people beating the shit out of each other with swords. So, you and your friend, whoever, they go and they put all this, like, really
thick jousting?
Nope. Just strictly swords. You go in this ring and you fight each other with swords, but you're fully you have full armor from head to toe.
Just going at it.
Yeah, it was hilarious. So
these are like untrained.
Yeah, there's just like me and you could go in and we pay like $5 a piece. We go in there and we just beat the shit out of each other with swords.
Oh my God, I'd love to do that. Yeah, no offense.
Yeah. No, I mean like, I want to eat your Wheaties that morning now because yeah. I'm in the spirit. Like yeah. I am Lord Alan Bridge of Dale, and I come here with one thing in mind, which is to be the champion of the people.
Oh you my know. God. Well, let me tell you something.
Yeah, good sir.
All the disrespect that you have given to me in my family name, I will not hold it. And so, well, let's do. And we will see who the better man, other than dropping a drone on each other.
So I go in here and I buy this drinking horn. And once again, everything in this thing is just like any other arts and crafts type festival where people are selling a bunch of items. Everything there is like handcrafted by artists. People really put their hard work into this stuff. So this horn here was $55, right? The one I first picked up was $155. And I was like, ooh, put that back. But the lady was really cool. The guy that was with her was also a former Marine. He and I, like, we really hit it off, and she ended up actually giving me, like, a pretty sweet deal with my horn here. And then from that point on, my belly was full. I had drink in hand, and I was ready to go. So, I saw some mermaids. I tried to use my nephew to my advantage to try to...
Yeah, boo.
To get close to the mermaids, but unfortunately, due to security reasons, we were not able to cross a barrier of rope that was between us and the mermaid people.
I know the mermaids got the top. I want to know if they got the bottom.
I was like, that one. So,
I'm not gonna that wall.
a lot.
We went, dude, it was just a good time, man. Like, I met up with this one guy, shopkeeper. He was making the cups and stuff, the big wooden mugs. And so, even in conversation, like, hello, my lord, huzzah. I was like, huzzah. He's like, how does thy fare, the Scarborough Fair? And I'm like, fare thee well. He was like, you are another one of the
a man of culture.
A man of culture in thy tongue, I see. And I'm like, yes. I'm quite cultured, as you would say. So we were talking, and he was telling
me, I drink my own pee from a bullhorn as well.
Yes.
What have you?
Yeah.
Sir, it's clean and it's sterile and it never let me down.
Yes. Anyways.
Shit.
Yeah. No, but he was telling me, like, obviously there's people that go and they pay, like, you know, like $60 for, like, Halloween costume. And then you've got people who pay, like, $1,500 and are, like, fully encased in, like, armor and swords. And, like, so there's...
Well, brother, look, with the lederhosen with Oktoberfest, it's like, dude, I can't tell you how, like, employees at Monson's, like, how much money we have put into our lederhosen, like, to make it feel as real as pop. And, like, that's just a blimp on the scope. But, like, this is something well known, and these people are, like, showing up, showing out for this, you know?
Oh, dude, like, so, like, obviously, like, if you're familiar with, like, medieval stuff and fantasy stuff like that, like, there's things that can stand out, like, characters that stand out, things that are told in stories that stand out that you know. So, one of those being famous weapons, and this guy was walking by, and I saw he had a sword on his back, and I noticed what sword it was, and it was Narsil, right? It was a sword, it was Sword of the King. It was Aragorn. It was, you know, it was the sword that, you know, that killed Sauron or whatever. And I know that blade. Like, I know that sword. That is a long, big-ass sword, right? And, but I know how expensive that sword can be because when I was a kid, my dad used to have this subscription, this magazine called Bud K, and they sold, like, knives and stuff like that. And they made it, and that I know that sword is expensive. So when I saw that freaking, and I'm telling you, every bit of it was legit, real. Like, the hilt, the freaking handle, the fucking blade, everything.
It even had the blood of Sauron himself on it, would you believe it?
Yes. So, just walk around, did that, missed the jousting, was very, disappointed in that, but I did see the knights that were jousting, like, they recently got finished with a joust because they were, like, chilling out and, you know, been sweating.
That shit has to hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Even in that damn armor, dude.
Oh, yeah. These dudes were obviously, like, fucking, like, I don't know, adrenaline junkies or just tough. I don't fucking know, but I don't think you do know.
You're an adrenaline junkie.
Oh, I mean,
you're not setting yourself up for, like, multiple joustings, but...
And I mean, you think that's... I don't know. I think technology's come a long way, so, I mean, I feel like...
We haven't found a way to, like...
I feel like there is a way, though, to, like, I don't know, maybe lighten the load whenever it comes to, like, being struck with a lance. You gotta think about, like, protection. You
could put an IED on it. And really set things off.
Well, I just think, like, just, like, basic, like, protection. Like, think about, like, football pads.
Yeah, sure. Like, we're coming a long way with CTE and things like that.
I think we've got, like, more advanced, like, impact protection nowadays. But, yeah, these dudes obviously looked beat. I could tell, like, they look like freaking tired as shit.
Yeah, they look like shit.
But, like, what you were saying is, like, so, I went and I bought my nephew a little jester's hat.
Of course.
I bought him a sword and a shield, which was quite expensive, by the way.
For my role.
But it was cool because, you know, we got to pick it, and some of thy fair maidens were quite worthy of thine eyesight, I will just say.
Ah.
Yes. Yes, of course. So, anyways.
No, loose.
we're walking by, and this one lady or whatever, like, Kaysen is, like, waving at all the little characters he sees, and he loves them, and I thought it was great. Like, I was heated up, too, because, like, you know, in the back, secretly, Uncle Cole wanted to talk to them, too. Like, just for, you know, like, ooh, what, you know, so, but this one lady comes up to us, and she's like, and I can pick up the Irish accent, like, from the gist, you know, people that know me know that I do like a lot of accents. That's just part of who I am. I don't know. I'm just a happy-go-lucky, silly person. But when it comes to people that have accurate, like legitimate accents versus people that just, you know, try or not, that don't naturally have that accent, like I really I'm a big critic of that. So, when this lady came up here and talking to us, like, I definitely put an ear to it and started listening and carrying on more conversation with her just to kind of hear her talking more. And as it turns out, like, she was from Ireland, and that she, not just the Scarborough Fair, but she flies to the United States. I mean, she goes home often, but just as often as that, I mean, this is what she does. She goes to all these different fairs, and she plays a character.
Some money maker.
And, you know, and I thought that was awesome and interesting. And so, yeah, I mean, the worst part of the whole thing, that I had to leave. Like, we had to go home. I was having a great time.
Dude, like, you were, like, pre-talking to you about the trip to you coming back with the chalice, however you want to, the drinking horn, coming back, and I was like, right when I saw that, and I was like, he had a good time, dude. He found his people.
I know, right? Like, if I could, like, you know, I like that, have you ever watched that movie Doomsday?
I don't know.
Yep. It's like a post-apocalyptic type movie or whatever, but, they send, like, an agent, like, outside the walls of the city where, like, the last bit of civilization, like, everybody on the outside is, like, basically, like, just doing whatever the fuck they want to do.
Yeah.
And there was, like, these two brothers that they were trying to fight, and one of the brothers has, like, basically turned, like, his little civilization people into, like, to this medieval, right? Like,
oh, hell yeah.
I was like...
Probably teaming with that guy.
Which is gonna suck when we get into a war versus the people with guns. It's like, can we, like, just raise a hand and be like, no guns! No guns!
Stop!
Yeah.
We were just kidding.
That's why we trade our women in drugs.
Yes.
Yes.
Have you heard of the opium that we possess?
Yes, yes. But, dude, like, no. So, like, I've decided, like, the next one that I'm going to, if I go, like, I'm doing one or two things. Like, I'm definitely going to, like, be a pirate, probably, more than likely.
Oh, Lord, I have this.
I don't know, like just a simple character, just a simple, like you know who I'd be? You know who I'd dress up as? Freaking, if you watch The Witcher?
Oh, yeah.
What's his nuts? The bard that's with him.
Oh, that would be someone iconic.
Once, yeah, that guy. I would dress up as Jasker.
Jasker.
Yeah. I would dress up as him, and I would I would just run around. What was it? What'd he say? Toss a coin to your witcher, oh valley of plenty, oh valley of plenty, oh. Remember the old school, like, Budweiser commercials with the frogs?
Budweiser.
Like, that's, I don't know. The 90s were, like, a great time to live.
We'll never get them back. They're not coming back. But yeah, that was what a time to be alive.
Arcades were, like, a great time.
You'll see them every now and then. Like, there'll be, I mean, there's one just close at, like, Loose Brews, to where it's like a barcade, to where you can go in.
What is this called now?
Loose Brews.
Never heard of it.
It's on the Strip in Tuscaloosa.
Is it new? I mean, it sounds new. It sounds new to me, anyways.
No, it's been there for.
Been there as long as Rhythm and as Rhythm has?
I wouldn't say that long, but okay. Like at least 15 years. But you can go in there and they have 63 taps. Tuscaloosa is the 63rd county. So the 63rd tap is a secret. You have to ask for it.
What is it?
It changes.
It's a secret.
Yes. But if you don't know, there's only 62 beers and wines on tap. But as you venture on back in the Lusa, you can be a pinball wizard. You can play like your arcade games. You can play Mortal Kombat. You can play Donkey Kong, whatever else.
That's cool, dude. I honestly
and like they call them barcades. They call them barcades.
And they call them barcades.
Could you imagine?
No!
Oh, my God. No. The marketing. No. Good Lord. Here we are.
We should definitely, like,
in the 21st century.
Well, you know, I tell you what. Like, the next time that you go to, like, hang out with Monk, like, we need to, like, make a weekend out of it. Go down to Tuscaloosa one night. Freaking go to a bar, like do something in Tuscaloosa. It's been so long since I've done anything. The last fun thing I did in Tuscaloosa was, minus Christmas shopping because I will enjoy the holidays well, but was Bolero before it got.
If you want to have a good time in Tuscaloosa, buddy, I can show you.
Yeah, but I mean, like that would be fun, you know. Go with some folks, have a good time.
What else has been cooking, Lee Dog? We talked a little bit about the drone warfare, video games, Renaissance Fair, dude. Great stories. And last thing I would like to say, I guess, well, just depends on how it goes. Scary movies, dude. We just watched my favorite scary movies franchise. A lot of you may know that I'm a huge fan of Art the Clown. But no, this is not it. I'm a huge fan of Strangers. And Cole and I just watched Strangers Chapter 1. And one thing I'll say, no spoilers at all, it is the exact same formula as any other Strangers before it.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Is Tamara home? The light bulb at the front door is going to be unscrewed. They're going to get in the house. They're going to play an eerie record. They're going to mess with the guest of the house. Let them have the idea that they're going to get away. And then, we were just messing with you the whole time, dude. And so, like, I like your critique with it. And so, like, I would like to run that to where, like, I think this is where a lot of people get off go is, like, a lot of people think is, like, when they're game playing, not so much with, like, a Nightmare on Elm Street because it happens in dreams, but with a Michael Myers or a Jason Voorhees or a Strangers or even an Art the Clown, it was like,
That would never happen to me. I would be so prepared because of all of the things in my life that I've been prepared for. I've been in the military. I'm well trained with a gun. I am never without my gun, and I would immediately snuff this shit out. And we all feel that way. And is that not the allure?
I would be glad to give you my opinion after I let everyone know that...
what?
That Jason... Jason Voorhees is a distant cousin of Jason Voorhees. They are related.
Sorry for the name drop.
for the Voorhees family. Sorry that your son drowned in Lake Richard.
I read it in a book. And I heard it on the news.
Yeah, don't bring up books. All right, you know how we are about books. Gosh.
We don't read. Sorry.
Yeah.
God.
You know where you should get 90% of your information, people out there in America?
Social media.
A book. Because guess what I did when I found out about it? I read it in a book.
Okay.
You know.
Anyway. Moving on.
So,
chastising me over my pronunciation.
I just think that... Unless you go to, like, don't get me wrong, like, if you, like, pick, I feel like, though, 90% of the time, these movies, whenever they're developing the characters, I feel like they're developed from a particular part of the world, from the United States, rather, sorry.
Yeah.
And
a fairly large population.
I feel like you never consider, like, a kid... Or even a college kid that grew up in like a southern rural town, or like even a just that grew up hunting and fishing, that who had, or
let's take Strangers Chapter 1.
Yeah,
maybe you did when a homeboy went back to town on the motorcycle, and they were all having beers, and they invited them to have a beer.
Yeah,
that would be your example of the type of people that you're talking about.
100%. And like, what would happen?
And that thing would not happen to them.
I wouldn't say that it wouldn't happen. I feel like if the sheer will of the assailant is strong enough, then they can still do what they're going to do. But if they're crazy enough, and that's what drives you, right? That's what interests you.
That's what keeps it interesting.
Is to see how crazy they are. Like,
I mean, what stopped them from like just staying in the crawl space?
Or what about? Or no, not even that. Like, go back to the bad guy point of view of it. Like, think about it like this: when Duboy got a hold of that shotgun, like, if me and you decided to go like bully somebody, as soon as motherfucker pulled out a gun and be like, "All right,
I'm done."
Yeah, like it's we right. So. That's what interests us, I think, as humans, is to, like, we want to see how crazy these people are.
Yeah, how right? far can you push the envelope?
Right. I mean, this guy was disarmed, right?
Sure.
And mind you, they literally did, like, they freaking, like, what is the word I'm looking for? Like, they just disrespected Jeep in that movie. Because a Jeep, if you think of four-wheel drive vehicles, what's the first vehicle you think of? You think of a Jeep, usually. They disrespected Jeep a whole bunch by taking a freaking Jeep Cherokee and letting it get ran over by a freaking...
old Ford.
And you know what even made it worse? Is
God like, bless America.
It's like, I'm pretty sure, but maybe that was a part of the thing. Maybe... He's never driven a four-wheel drive vehicle and didn't know how to lock
it. He never had driven a motorcycle either, apparently.
But apparently he was a fucking pro at that. So, and I'm just telling you, as a motorcycle driver, like, you don't just jump on it after never riding one and just take off like he did. Like, dude's got some splaining to do.
And by the way, that, you know, that was my number one beef with the film, is like, when they pan back into the house, and she's like, oh, Ryan, where are you? Is that you outside? If the motorcycle was in the shop, he crunk it up, you wouldn't know
yeah,
that he was gone. Now, granted, like, once again, Like, we're forgetting everything of being in like, and that's the thing that we all do. Like, I would never act that way in a situation so serious. I would never stumble over a branch. I would never make a bad decision. I would be able to hold my breath. I would not have a panic attack.
No.
You know?
I mean, like, I'm sitting here, like, I'm kind of being, like, a advocate, or devil's advocate, rather. But I've had some scary situations, right? And, like, and I'm not trying to sound, like, too serious about this. Like, even, think about it, like, when you're a teenager and you did something you weren't supposed to. Like, I remember, like, one time.
Nothing like breaking into the log cabin of your girlfriend's family's establishment and then the father coming on down there to break it up, dude.
Or, you know, something like that. But, like, I remember one time I was in an undisclosed neighborhood. Not going to tell you where it was. And we started out the night by setting a fire in the middle of the street.
Great start.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then the next thing we did is we loaded up on bottle rockets and fucking a bunch of other shit. And we just started going around and blowing up some people's houses with that. The house obviously didn't blow up. It was just
I did the same thing with paintball guns.
We had a paintball gun. We did a two-pronged attack on one particular house where we went down this creek bed and loaded up all these bottle rockets and we went by. And then on the
front. Eat shit, you piece of shit.
Yeah, they had eggs and paintball guns. And then one night, dude, like, this one dude, and I remember my arm was in a cast. I had, I hurt it at football, and, this dude, like, he was, either a cop or a former cop or whatever. I don't freaking know. But anyways, all I know is, like, he came after us.
Oh.
And he, ran at, chased us. And, I never saw him, like, as a person, but I remember, like, hearing him. So, like, when I watch these scary movies and I think about it, then, like, that's kind of, like, what I go to. Like, I remember being so afraid of being caught by this person, right? And I never saw them. Like, I looked everywhere and I never saw them. But I remember hearing them. Like, I remember hearing them running towards me or whatever.
Sure.
And so, I go back to that, like, you know, of course, in that setting, it was a lot different because I was amped up on, you know, just energy of being a teenager. I was more excited rather than, like, fearful for my life, I guess you'd say. Like, I was more, like, it was more of an enjoyable kind of fear, I guess you'd say.
I mean, that's all that we ever wanted in teenage years, yeah. Right? It's like, we wanted that stimulus. There was nothing like going to that pond or lake that you didn't have permission to fish at, or there was nothing like going on to that hunting property and taking your girlfriend to it, and I mean, who knows what could happen, you know?
Yeah,
we're just kind of here. Or there's nothing like being up on that water tower. I mean, that is like the teenage delight, you know? I mean, that's your testosterone, your estrogen, your hormone, or whatever, full blast, dude. You're sending it.
It's like
nothing like I go back, like, when I think about those days, dude, it was like all the days that we had riding four wheelers on all these dirt roads all over Lamar and Pickens County. And dude, like, I'll never forget, like, when we went to the old Kennedy racetrack. I was taking a girlfriend of mine at the time, and like we pulled up in there and I was like, I want to show you this. And, dude, we got up in there, and I made a lap around the old Kennedy racetrack. And when we went to go back out, I was greeted by two shotguns.
That's not how I thought that story was going to end.
Yeah. And, like, of course, you know, it's like, what are you doing, and who are you? And I was like, dude, I'm an Aldrich. It's cool. Whose boy are you? Jerome's. We'll let it slide this time. Don't ever do it again, you know. But I mean, that was the whole allure of it. Was like you were getting into good trouble, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of like, you know, I compare that to like times. I compare that to times where, like, I guess I was more fearful, and I think about how I conducted myself. But I will say this, after a lot of processing and a lot of thinking, we, as kids from the South, I just feel like we have performed very well under pressure when it comes to situations like that. And I'm not saying because, like, we get brave and we over... No, no, no. I'm just saying, like, when it comes to a survival-type moment, and I don't necessarily mean survival, like, last for days. I mean, like, in any kind of instance, I just feel like our dads, our brothers, our uncles, our cousins, like, they took the time to teach us, like, basic necessary skills, and they made it so important. I wouldn't say they made it so important, but they made it important enough to where, like, it may not be the first thing you think about, but when you're put in that situation, it comes back in your mind.
I picked up a lot from you, but also I picked up a lot from my upbringing. I'll give you a real example. We were out on a job site. The address given, it was a suite.
Yeah.
But this was a private home address, and there was no suite. And then you look further into the property, there was a shop, right? I had to install an electric meter onto a suite. Well, address falls, property line falls. There was only one place it could go. And I had a new guy that I'm training with me, right? And he was like, well, do we call back to the office? Do we try to get a GPS on what we're doing? I was like, no, we don't do anything. I'm about to go install this meter on the shop. How are you so sure? And I was like, you see that right there? And I pointed to a water bottle. It was your typical water bottle, right? It was cold, but you could tell it was sweating.
Yeah.
And it was in the back of the yard, and it's a shop you could tell that was recently painted. And I could tell, I was like, that's probably the property that needs a meter, right? And he was like, how do you know that? And I was like, there's somebody here, and there's somebody there. Just look over there. Somebody is here because that water bottle was fresh.
Yeah.
And as soon as we approached the property, somebody walked out, and how'd you know that? And I was like, you learn in this field of work, like, just pick up on things, man. Like, you see a water bottle, you see it sweating. Dude, it clearly was just let down. And in your line of work, my God, it's like the clues that you can pick up about things, not even just so much with how people present themselves, but just look at the situation. You can pick up on a lot of cues, man.
Well, I mean, the thing is like 90% of the times when these films are you know, when they're producing these films, like, you know, I just feel like they always want the victim to be as victim as they can be, right? Like a complete and total dunce.
Sure.
I feel like they
But they give them their moments, but they fail at them.
Yeah, I feel like, and I feel like this. I feel like, A, directors out there, I feel like you don't give humanity a chance enough. And B, I feel like maybe you over-empower. And now there are some films where the people do get the upper hand. But you've applied more humanity to the... To the villain, anything. For example, I mentioned to you last night, Straw Dogs, right?
Sure.
That's human on human, right? Even though Strangers is, but what have those people done as murderers? What have they done? They've emulsified themselves into what they believe that they are. They believe they are something.
And it's something, right? That they do for fun, obviously, yeah. Because they'll come and terrorize, and then they'll back off. And obviously they do their social cues off of piano work or off of a record playing or a shriek. Did you pick that up? Because, like, overwatching, like, the Stranger films is, like, obviously, like, that is Tamara home, the light bulb's unscrewed. But, like, during that time, they already have access to the house, and then they'll put on a record. They'll play a piano. They'll play an instrument. Those are cues for letting the other people involved knowing where the victims are. If you'll pay attention, like, the film is really well done.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at it from, like, both sides, obviously, like, the victims have no fucking clue. But like on the antagonist side, like the killer, really well written, really well done.
It goes back to me thinking about that movie, Hush, that I was telling you about.
Okay, yeah. That's just with the deaf girl.
Yeah. So I mean, but I've never watched them in such detail to know that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
just love Strangers.
Don't get me wrong. So the reason why I like Strangers is because like.
It could happen to you.
Nope. My brother is terrified of that movie. And whenever I expanded on that, I was like, what do you mean? He was like, that's my fear. Like, it's of like some, like psycho killers are like what scares him. Like, that's his fear.
Well, they're out there.
And you know what? That's what makes that movie gold, is because that is a genuine, real fear. And I love what they did in the very beginning of the movie when they gave the statistics. Remember that?
They always do that.
And that was so... And that just sells it, because it just reminds you...
Matter of fact, every 36 seconds, this happens.
And it reminds you...
But this just happens to be the most brutal.
And the thing is, though, like, especially, like, in this movie, or when they do that, is like, it does two things. It brings nonfiction into fiction. It brings fiction into nonfiction.
What? The fiction side of it is it's...
Like, this really didn't
it's
happen.
It's enhanced.
This really didn't happen, but
it kind of did.
These statistics are genuine. Yeah. They're real. This could happen. Which goes back to me leaning on, I feel like, don't get me wrong, as we go into the future humanity-wise, like I feel like there's probably more people in America that probably don't know how to boil an egg. But there are people that do. And I feel like even in a situation as intense as that, one of my, I can't believe I didn't mention this last night. What's the one, it's based on an early film, The Last House on the Left. Yes.
Where The Last Podcast on the Left comes from, which strung up like the craze of, murder mysteries / serial killers for podcasting in general. Yeah, that is the most popular fucking case of all fucking time, dude.
Like that? Like even like the, so like, you know, even like the main victim in the movie, like I don't know if you, have you seen the newer?
I haven't seen the new adaptation. I'm familiar
with it. It's great. It's very,
It holds up. I mean,
it's a very, what should I say, it's one of the very few movies that display a rape, right? So it's like, holy shit. But when you see that and you understand where she's coming from, like, as a victim, and seeing the trauma that she's been through, and then like what drove the parents to be what they became. Like when they first showed up at this house, they were just out here vacationing. They know nothing. I want to say like the mom and the dad, neither one of them had a profession in which they did anything with their hands, like manual labor or anything like that.
Sure.
And the girl was a high school student, right? And she was like
just trying to do her time, man.
And so, but what turned the parents into what they became was seeing, because I want to say either the mom or the dad, dude, we got to watch that. We got to watch that tonight.
Okay.
Not, fair. But I want to say, like, the dad or the mom, one of them may have been, like, somewhere in the medical field because they noticed that she had signs of sexual trauma. And when they, as parents, noticed that and took it, that was it.
The whole thing that is real bleak and kind of strange to me about it is in Cobb and the true crime things that I listen to now is... that behavior doesn't add up. That vengeful wrath.
Yeah.
In both doesn't add up. Because, like, typically, like, what you'll see with true crime, let's take Whitman. He was the guy that holed himself up into the University of Texas at Austin up in a clock tower and shot 17 people?
Like, I know that very well from being an instructor.
You know, like, what caused that? Like, we know what caused it. He had a fucking tumor that pressed against the part of the brain that caused anxiety and, like, would trigger, like, him having irrational thoughts. Like, I'm not excusing his behavior, but, like, sometimes, like, these weird growths and things happen in people. But, like, for it to happen in two people and them being a couple, it's kind of hard for me to believe that the same reaction would happen for both of them. It's kind of like the comedy with Jim Carrey, like having fun with Dick and Jane. It's almost like they wanted to do that.
I think you're going to appreciate that film only for the sole fact because, like, I think that one parent was more driven to actually be...
And the other was kind of like a ride or die.
And was more or less being shown and being pressured into doing it.
Okay.
Right? So, but I would just, in my opinion, I would just like to see, I would like to see a slasher film like that, a thriller, a horror. I would like to see one where...
What did you have an opportunity to watch the new Scream that was, it was in New York City?
No.
Okay, like, we should think about that. Not to spoil too much, but... you remember I Know What You Did Last Summer and the fact that there were multiple.
Okay, yeah.
Well, the new Scream, it was like set in New York City to where when you got rid of one, there were more. And so that's kind of like maybe the same kind of concept, but just a little bit of a twist.
And so, like, what's the, I watched one not too long ago, it was The Hills Have Eyes.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's a lot of incest and bullshit. Yeah, yeah.
So, this new version, I don't know if you've seen the newest one.
Is it worth a damn?
It is, because they take a spin on the... Because
the second one kind of sucked.
So, basically what they did in this movie, not to give away, I'm probably going to give more away than anything, but in this film, instead of it being based on, like, I would say incest, they based it on this group of people that had basically had tucked themselves away in the mountains and become like a population on their own. They govern themselves. They hunt, they fish. And
no offense, but West Virginia.
Yeah, and so even though it wasn't necessarily incest, I mean, there was probably some incest because, like, obviously, if you take, like, six families, for example, and those six families all have children, and those children grow up and they reproduce, at some point, it all kind of starts to cross over. But that's something that I actually, I enjoyed that they didn't go, like, and say, like, they were, like, this twisted, like, family, which of course, you know, when you go to horror like that, that's something that terrifies you, right? That's this twisted, horrible looking incest family. Like,
oh yeah, hell yeah.
But this, it was more of like a society that wanted to stay to themselves and stick to themselves. They had strict morals and code of ethics about them where they only did this at this time. They only did this at this time. Like, nobody ever left. Everybody stayed in the, like, in the group. And so, you know, the victims end up becoming a part of the people, and eventually, what's great is the like one of the main victims, like, she breaks free, and so she held on to that little bit of humanity for years.
That's wild. When it comes to cults, it's a little bit different when it's familial.
It's good you bring that up because it was very cultish.
Yeah, and like. The difference, like, cults usually always boils down to sex. And so, like, when you have a cult, this thing, like, which may be more familial to where it would totally make sense to, like, The Hills Have Eyes kind of thing. Or even, like, the West Virginia White Underbelly documentary of, like, there's a guy that, I mean, he's so inbred, and I'm not disparaging the guy, but all that he can, like, physically do is bark. And, like, I'm not disparaging, but, like,
That is where that goes, and that is definitely like a Hills Have Eyes, like especially if it came to a point to where they were isolated enough to where they couldn't go into town and they had to resort.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you have something like that and you start bringing new people into the fold, it's like you would have this breath of humanity.
It's funny you said that about the whole bark thing, because there's a movie that I saved on the watch list about this this girl that starts dating this guy, and he looks like a well-to-do, like, decent guy, lives in a big, nice house.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But he has a roommate, and his roommate...
Stop talking about me like that, dude.
His roommate his roommate feels like his roommate believes he's a dog.
Oh, shit. No, so, never mind. Not me.
He and so the guy treats his roommate like a dog, and the guy acts like a dog. And so this girl, like, she's meeting this guy for the first time.
Oh, here's a little treat.
He's really nice and all this other stuff, and she comes to his house for the first time, and he's like, you see the fucking, this guy's dressed like a dog. And she's like, what the H is that? So it looks like a pretty interesting movie.
First red flag there.
You know? Sure. But yeah, at the end of the day, I would like to see two things, because I just thought about this in my creative little wild zany brain. But I would like to see a movie that is just as brutal and as serious as Strangers or something like that, where you don't give all the credit to the victim or all the credit to the killer. I would like to see a balance, and it be like a it's a struggle for survival, but the basic concept of survival, they understand that there's things that they need. Like, you know, I enjoy movies where, like, you have like a nurse or something like that, and she knows how to treat a wound, right? Like stuff like that. Like that I would like to see where somebody's more prepared. And also, what I think was funny, I was thinking about this the other day, but all of, you know, like the Sacha Baron Cohen films, like
Yvette and I.
Yvette and I. See, oh, I would like to see if a Borat would if he was a cult leader.
Oh yes. By the way, you say you like to kill people. You kill people like me.
Yes. And we take them and we throw them in hole.
Yes.
We sacrifice them to the earth.
Yes. It we be rid of them.
But I would like to see like a spoof, like comedy kind of done, where like you have a character like Sacha Baron Cohen who takes on the role of like a cult leader. And
I think we could totally fucking pull that off, dude.
Oh, dude. I think that would be hilarious.
I mean, it would be like the easiest fucking thing to do. And like, I've always kind of dreamed about doing a film like that. It might be a short film. It might be a 30-45er. But I would love to do some shit like that. But, dude, like, with like your critiques and everything with Strangers is, yeah, I think those elements exist.
I think they do, and they happen so sporadically, and that's a great thing, because you don't always want to lean on one side more than the other. Like, you want there to be balance. Like, you know, us as viewers, when we watch movies like that,
take this, is Ryan leaves on the motorcycle, she FaceTimes her friends in Greece, next thing you know, she's smoking a joint. That right there should tell you, next thing you know, she's getting ready to take a shower, like, and she's trying, is Tamara home? She's trying to get away from that. And then she's in the shower, the guy's watching her take a shower. She don't, unbeknownst to her, she's cooked. Not yet, because he ain't done messing with her. And that is the whole point of Strangers. Like, and that's the allure of it. It's like, it's not like a Jason Voorhees tour. I'm fucking that up again.
It's the cousin of Voorhees. It's the cousin. It's another.
There.
It's Jason Voorhees. He's
Laura he is. Laura he is. I will figure this out.
Voorhees. Not to be mistaken for the Voorhagens that are out there.
Oh, my God, no. No way, dude. Not to be mistaken for any of those fucks. But, good Lord, is, like, you could have had them there, but, like, that was the whole point of Strangers. It's, like, it's the ominous
appeal of I had you, but I didn't take you yet.
I think, like I said, at the end of the day, I would just like to see where somebody with a little bit more, I guess, in their struggle for survival, they, even if they're not an expert, even if they don't know what they're doing.
We should create that Airbnb.
Yeah.
Like, give them real shit, but like, not real, but like, survival, like, you were being sent into.
No, look, check this out. You know how, like, you know, all our lives, what have we always heard about, like, during when it comes time, like, Halloween and stuff like that, like, you know, we always hear about the 13th story, right? Like, that place. Yeah. Like, that mythical place that exists where, like, the Alabama football team all went in there and, like, blah, 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 where you sign a waiver. How cool would this be, right? And, like, you would attract people from all over the United States because there are people that like true crime podcasts, they like horror movies.
Sure.
But basically, you rent out this Airbnb, okay, with the knowledge and the know-how that, like, you are going to be, you're going to be victimized.
Oh, you're about to be a bitch.
So, but yeah, like, you hire some, you know, it's like a haunted house. Like, you know, you have actors and everything else. Obviously, you want to make it safe as possible, but the thrill of it is being, you know, in that situation.
I think you take the allure away by making it as safe as possible. Obviously, I wouldn't want anybody to be harmed, but
I mean, the last thing I want is to be trying to terrorize somebody just for the thrill of it, and the next thing, you know, I get stabbed in the chest with a kitchen knife. You know,
that's like the thing.
So, like, obviously, there would have to be, like, some type of process.
I don't think ideas like that work, dude.
I think it could, because, you know,
Because, like, if I was going into an event, let's just say, like, in Birmingham at the Slosh Furnace. If I knew that I was going in there to be a bitch, well, how big of a bitch am I? I'm armed, dude. No, I'm saying, like, I'm bringing the goddamn fucking knife or a gun. Maybe I'm just bringing these damn karate cannons over here. But anyway, like, real talk, it's like, that allure of it in real time is not fucking feasible.
I think that,
like, it always happens in film place, and everyone needs to know exactly what's going on, because you cannot put people in immediate danger like that unless it's fake.
I think
they know it.
I think it would be a definite task for the people that ever come up with this idea to be able to try to figure out how to still create that allure of them being, you know,
a victim. Haunted hayrides have their allure, you know.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it would be difficult to try to do that, but I think in my mind, like, that's where you would focus on stage prep, and then obviously in your fine print. So, you know, you set it up just like any other Airbnb out there, right? But in the fine print that nobody reads, you put in there, like, hey, may be subjected to this, this, that, and the fifth. And then they sign on, they accept it, right? Nowadays, when you go to click a button on things, you don't read through half that stuff. And so, people, you know, they go through this process, they click on it,
I don't know, dude.
And then at the same time,
there'll be people fucking molested and raped over this kind of shit, dude.
That's what I say, you gotta be very careful, but, you know, I think that'd be interesting, in my opinion. I think, like, if you had people that were willing to, like, stay in a haunted house for a night, you know what I mean? Like, people that pay money, they know for a fact that they're going to get the shit scared out of them, they're going for the thrill of being scared, or being terrified.
Yeah, okay, yeah, if you had all the right people there.
Right, and then, you know, once again, you go into that mindset, but I think that'd be pretty interesting. I don't know. That's just like a little thought I've had, like as far as like haunted houses go. Like, you know, most time you get what you pay for, depending on where you go. You know, some places are better than others, but I feel like that would be pretty epic if you were to rent like an Airbnb or a VRBO, and you go and you stay at this house, and like you were
like, harassed.
You were basically harassed and terrified. You know, I feel like that would be interesting. You know, and obviously you would have to follow strict rules.
Yeah, I'll tell you this story. I don't have anything else, but we went down to Orlando. It was our second wedding anniversary, me and my ex-wife. We were going to Universal. And for the first time in our marriage, in our time of being together for 6 years, I allowed her to book where we were staying. Boy, did she fuck up. We were staying at this crack house hotel. And we drove from Mobile, Alabama to Orlando. One shot. I got off work. We took off. We landed in Orlando at like 3 a.m. or so. I go in there to check in. There, as I'm checking in, there is this chick like storming out, like freaking out about her room. And I was like, thank God my wife isn't here. Because like, we would be sleeping in the fucking car, because like, there's no way that my wife is going to go in a place like this. And I don't even know if this crazy bitch knows what the fuck she's talking about. She could be off her fucking rocker. And I go in there and I get checked in. I go back out to the car, get it parked, and get my wife out of the car, get her stuff, go to our room. And I lay her down. And I made a fatal mistake, though. I took the, you know, the desk chair you have in every hotel room, and I just placed it underneath the door and, like, made it to where, like, the door was a little less breachable. And she happened to catch it. She's like, what are you doing? I said, I was just making the room a little bit less accessible. She's like, for what? And I was like, well. Then I told her the story about the lady who had stormed out. And, of course, which would lead to her not fucking sleeping all night and us not enjoying our fucking vacation. And, like, I was, like, right there. I was like, that was my fuck up. You know, but goddamn, dude. It's so crazy, like, when you're in a situation like that, like, survival, such as, and it's like, I don't even know if I need to do that. I was just like creating an extra barrier. It's like, well, I sleep deep as fuck. I'll definitely hear a fucking chair being. Then I'll pop up and I'll be like, I'll be ready to fucking. What the fuck you want, you know?
Dude, yeah. You are definitely a deep sleeper. Like, I've noticed. Like, yeah. Your alarm goes off.
Forever.
Forever. Like.
Forever.
Like, forever, and you're just, like...
not giving a fuck.
It's gone. Like, part of me kind of envies you, but at the same time, like, I know that I need to wake my ass up when that alarm goes off. Like, I'm just so triggered by that alarm that I just, like, get up startled. But at the same time, like, you know, there are people that exist, like the Alan Aldridge out there that will sleep. You know, and it's funny to say that because, like, me and my brother Matt, like, that was always, like, growing up, you know, the whole stitch was that me and Matt could sleep through a thunderstorm, or, you know, we could sleep through a hurricane, and Mitch was terrified of bad weather, and, like, any time that we had, like, a really bad storm that was, you know, could have conjured up a tornado, you know, he always, like, would rush into our room, and, like, I would be the one usually, like, shanghaied into service, because even through that experience, like, Matt would still, like stay asleep. You know, like, even Mitch busting in the room and going, like, hey, are y'all awake? Like, Matt would still stay asleep. And so, but speaking of movies and thunderstorms, you know, they're coming out with Twisters.
Ooh, play with our nostalgia a little bit, dude.
So, I'm enjoying that. I think the main actor that's in it, I think that he's great. I don't know what role, I don't know where they're going to go with this. I don't know how much of the old movie they're going to bring to the new movie. I think that they have definitely got their hands full when it comes to like pop culture and trying to make, you know, remind people where it comes from and stuff like that. I think they got their hands full, but I think they got a really good actor. I especially like his acting in The Masters of Air. It was a TV show that was made by the same creators that did Band of Brothers in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it from the bombers, the Army Air Corps and the Air Force perspective. He played a really good role in that. But, you know, he also played Elvis.
I know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah, so...
shout out to him.
But, yeah.
Anything else to do before we get out of here?
Man, that's all I got for now.
Action-packed episode 602. Thank you so much for listening, watching. No, you weren't watching. You may have been. You may have been looking at your phone.
You may have been looking through a window.
May have been like, I don't know what you may have been doing. I don't know. Write and review the show. We're out of here. Thank you.
Her phone. Who's gonna pick her? Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.